Everyone, please go ahead and take your Bibles and open them up to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. Is Miss Lois here this morning? Miss Lois? She's not back yet. Well, today was Lois's birthday. I hear she's 39 again. So we'll just keep it there. So glad. Just wanted to say happy birthday. And all those who are joining us and aren't able to be here, either because they're sick or just unable to come, well, we're glad you can join us this way. We're saying hi and we're praying for you. Proverbs 31, an excellent wife or mother who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Our Father, as we bow and spend just a moment here to pause and think about our mothers, many have gone on to be with you. Some are still with us. And those who have played the role of mother in our life, we just want to pause a few seconds and say thank you to you for them. And now, Father, I pray this will be an encouraging message for all of us. Help us to get through it. Help us to get through it with grateful hearts, because what a blessing moms have been to us. Not all of us with biological moms that we may have known, or maybe even moms that even knew you, but there were some people in our life that you brought along that did play that role, and they blessed us. And I pray, Lord, that we in turn will learn from the wise man some great instructions about how all of us, moms or dads or any of us, can be more like you in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. When the Lord, good Lord, was creating mothers, he went into the sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared. And the angel said, You're sure doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. And God said, well, have you read the specs on this particular order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything. And six pairs of hands. Well, the angel shook her head slowly and said, six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems, God said. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's the standard model? The angel asked, and God nodded, yeah, one pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there? When she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And, of course, the ones here in front that looks at a child when he goofs up and simply says, well, I understand and I love you, without even saying those words. God, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, man, that's a lot. Maybe you ought to get some rest. And the Lord interrupted the angel and said, I can't. I'm so close. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick. She can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger. And the angel asked, but can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. And finally the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. There's a leak, she pronounced. It's not a leak, the Lord said. It's a tear. Angel paused and said, what's it for? Well, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. And the angel said, you're a genius, said the angel. Somberly, the Lord replied, I didn't put it there. This poem, When God Created Mothers by Irma Bombeck, provides humor, I think, though, to the excellency of God's creation and how it was good and how his mom design was perfect in every way. And today I just want to take a brief look again at a familiar passage which sums up the book of Proverbs in many ways. And it provides so many lessons, but we're only going to look just at a few this morning as one of my gifts to our mothers, keep it short. And I read earlier here, well, I want to read the first part in verse 10 of chapter 31 that says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." That's some opening line, isn't it? Now, oftentimes, that's really, I mean, if you read it, I can see how you can misinterpret that. Because some people would say, wow, I'm not that person. I'm not that good. It's not what the psalmist is saying at all. He's not saying that it's impossible to find a godly woman. You might interpret it that way. What's he saying? Simply, he's pointing to the fact that a woman who loves the Lord is worth more than any treasure you could ever get. Anything that would come your way. He's kind of posing that up front. Who can find it, man? If you do, far more precious than any jewels. I want to consider just three things here. There are many, but just three this morning. Of character qualities of an excellent wife and mother and the things that they possess. The first one comes from verses 11 and 12. It's the word integrity. Keep that in mind, the word integrity. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. I want you to notice the first noun here, the heart. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Imagine that. Imagine a wife and mother who embodies trustworthiness, reliability, and faithfulness. Notice how the Lord had paired these together, heart and trust, highlighting just how much confidence that this particular husband has in her and her abilities, knowing she's never going to give him or the family cause to be upset or have concern. Her motives are pure. Her judgments are wise. And the profit she brings into the home is a blessing to the whole family, reflecting her devotion to God. Now, the wise man highlights the fact that her commitment to the family is not just limited to a duty of service. Sometimes we think that, well, you know, they do this, they do this, they do this, they do this. All of us say amen to that. There's a lot of doing when it comes to moms. They do a lot of things. We often connect that, though, to clothes and laundry and scheduling and all. That's true. That's all true. But there's more to it than that. She navigates life without compromising her own integrity, meaning that she's strong enough to call it as she sees it. And I love that part about her integrity. She doesn't withhold back, fearful that somehow a relationship's going to break, because she knows the more important thing is this relationship that her children might have. And so she's strong enough to say it, say how she sees it. And let the Holy Spirit do the work in the lives of her family, whether it's encouragement or conviction or both. This unwavering integrity comes from one thing. It comes from her devotion to God, her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes her, or any of us, excellent in what we do. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So moms, remember, really, for this first thing about integrity, meaning what you say and doing what you say you're going to do, this integrity, you can only pass on what you possess. You can only pass on what you personally possess. You need to be growing in faith and knowledge of Christ. You need to be nurturing your faith and you're continue to grow in integrity. Because by doing that, what you're doing is you're creating a foundation of love and trust that will bless your family and generations to come in so many ways you can't even imagine. Why? Just because you have your priorities straight, you seek after the Lord. You have many responsibilities. You have many things piled on top, and you do not neglect them. But as a woman of integrity, you make sure that Christ is first and you seek after him. Now, I want you to understand something. If you were to do a study here, integrity does not mean that you're never going to fall. You're never going to fail. I don't want to paint some picture and people, well, I'll never be that. Well, none of us will ever be that. No one's perfect. You're going to. In fact, Proverbs 24:16 says that a righteous man or woman will fall seven times and rise again. Now, it's not, he doesn't mean just seven. He's making a point here. We are going to make choices that are not their best. We're going to make mistakes. And that all those six pairs or three pairs of eyes, that's six hands, right? Three pairs of eyes or whatever it is, you could have your eyesight is much better years later, right? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever thought this, man, if I'd known this, I probably would have done this a little bit differently. Amen? You can say that's the truth. That's okay. That's part of it. Integrity doesn't mean you don't stumble and you don't fall. But here's the thing it does mean. This is very important. It doesn't mean that you're going to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to sit there and whine about what you can't change or ongoing guilt over and over and over again. Instead, what you do as a woman of integrity, you look unto God. And you talk to God about those things. And you deal with it, with your relationship with your Father who loves you. Where there's confession that needs to be made, by all means, make confessions. That's fine. Reconciliations that need to be made, do your part as much as it's in your power. But you don't live there and beat on yourself constantly. What you do is that you show, even through difficult times and mistakes that you've made, that Christ still is the answer and the Word of God is still to be followed. And that might mean saying, I'm sorry. Or that might mean saying that you should be sorry, whatever that thing is. Take the Word that you're learning. Teach your children this Word diligently. Talk about it with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That's what moms do. They're not perfect, but they have a perfect Savior. And that perfect Savior has the Holy Spirit living within them. And by their devotion to God, they are people of integrity. Meaning they make mistakes, but they own up to it. They don't live in the past, and they move forward. I would imagine if it's moms or dads or any of us have things that we regret. Things that we wish we could go back. Don't you wish you could have that replay button and go back to that moment in time and go, nope, I'm not going to say that or do that. Man, I've got a lot of those, so many of those. And the great thing is, when we go to our Father, if we're devoted to Him and His Spirit's working with us, He has a delete button. That's amazing. I do not understand this phrase at all, but this is what the Bible says. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our sins. And get this, He remembers them no more. So why are you? You don't know what I did. No, I don't. I don't. I would imagine there's all ranges of not such a big deal and a big deal. But the point is God's worked through your heart, and you're a woman of integrity. And that's so important for your children to see you're not perfect, but you're willing to fess up to it. More than one time in my own parenting, I've had to make that admission to my kids. They already knew it anyway. And say, Dad was wrong. Will you forgive me? You own up and you move forward. See, the devil and the flesh want to keep accusing. God keeps forgiving. And He offers His grace. That moms, you can do that. So moms of integrity, your integrity with God is what's going to set the table for your ability to have influence. That's what it's going to do. And if you are a lady of integrity, mom, maybe some young kids in here or teenagers, that table of integrity will be such a launching pad for godly influence in the lives of people. Be sure that's what it is for you. And I want to say thank you to all the moms for being willing, you're not perfect, but for standing up for righteousness, for living out your biblical convictions. I just want you to say continue on in your integrity. All right, number two. So integrity is the first one. The second one, big idea, comes from a rather large passage here. It's diligent. I'm going to read it. We got plenty of time. Woo! We went 11 o'clock and I'm almost done. You've heard that before. All right. 13. We're going to read to verse 25. Look at all of this. This is quite a list. Beginning of verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. And she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is a fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Wow. That is the word diligence is what we're after here. And what a word that is. You think about it. The idea here, especially in the Hebrew and in the old languages, to have diligence is more than just someone who is working hard. It is zeal behind that. The person is motivated. There's zeal. It's not drudging through. It's working hard through. In other words, it's work with an attitude. Work with an attitude. She's ready. She doesn't waste time, and she perseveres. That's probably the best word besides zeal. Zealous perseverance. How many of us, I have such vivid memories, how many of us can remember our moms or grandmoms or maybe aunts working late into the night when everyone else is doing something else, maybe off the bed? This is exactly the situation it had for me more than one time. She just worked, my mom worked tirelessly around the clock. It wasn't over when everyone said goodnight, and I imagine that's the case with many of our moms here today. But for a mom of excellence, again, we can get caught up in all those things. It goes way beyond that. It's not that you just are good at the things that you do in the house. It has to do with cherishing and nourishing and seeking to build biblical values and truth into her children and her family, the people around her. For such a challenge as this, moms of excellence just don't quit. You know, moms, I just coach. That's just easy compared to moms. But you know, how many times do you have to say something to a kid? Now you say, I'm going to say it one time. I understand that. But oftentimes when it comes to teaching, it's like a repetitive, isn't it? Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Don't do this. Anybody get tired of that one? You get a little difficult with that. So we have that going on here, but it's such a calm. But a woman of diligence will not quit. Here's a testimony. It comes from a man whose mom was very diligent through continuing her great efforts. And more than just the physical side, but this greatest gift is called the title of this poem that he wrote, his mother ever gave, the greatest gift ever given. It's a true story. Of all the gifts that mom ever gave, the best one came late at night when I was afraid. Mom asked why I was out of bed. I told her something was bothering me and wouldn't leave my head. She sat me down and asked me what it could be. What was this thing that was bothering me? I said I understood Jesus loved me and that he died on the cross to set me free, but became afraid because I realized my sin needed to be cleansed from deep within. With a smile on her face and the Bible in her hand, Mom sat me down by the table and read to me once again how Jesus died for me to pay for my sin and rose again to put once for all the penalty and power of sin. If I would but confess and Jesus receive, I would have a new life. I would be set free. Then, in childlike faith, I prayed. I told Jesus I was sorry for all I had done, even for the sins of that day. That night in Jesus Christ, I believed. Eternal life is the gift I received. With the fear of death and sin all gone, I jumped from the table and kissed my mom. And off to bed did I go and slept the best sleep ever, for Jesus I now did know. What can I do to repay you, Mom, for the gift of showing me the way? I know I will share the love of Christ with others each day. For you never know what kind deed, what kind word will open the door for Jesus to come into a sinner's heart and dwell forevermore. Thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. A diligent mom took the time to stop what she was doing, and it was important. But when the child came into the room, into that space, with a worrisome look, even though it was late and they should have been in bed, I get all that. Moms know there's something going on here. Sitting down, putting down whatever it was, sitting down at the table, opening up the Bible, and sharing Jesus Christ. Why does she do that? Because she's diligent. She's zealous for her children. She's zealous to help train them in what is important and what makes what we need to make important in our life. So mom's diligence simply flows again from her walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Empowered by her strength, she gracefully manages all the tasks that's entrusted to her. And beyond her household duties, she dedicates time to nurturing her children's growth and development. She becomes their cheerleader. She's also their accountability partner. She's a counselor. She's a compassionate listener. And her goal is to reflect Christ in all she does with unwavering dedication and love. Remember, Mom, diligence is good effort over time. Okay? Diligence is good effort over time. You have to continue to be zealous and pour those things in, realizing it's going to take a lifetime to get them all to work. It isn't a sprint. Sometimes it feels that way. I bet there's days we could have moms lined up here where you felt like the second you got out of bed, it was a full outlight sprint until everyone else finally got to sleep and you can get some sleep yourself. That's the way it is. But it really is a marathon. And you can make a difference when you get in and be diligent with your kids, fighting for the things and all these things that are explained here in Proverbs about what moms do. She's fighting for her family. She's fighting for the future of her family, not just for the day-to-day things. She's planning and investing and building those physical things, but those spiritual things, making a difference. And I'll tell you what, you're making a difference even when your kids don't listen very well. I want you to remain diligent during that time. Well, we have the third one now. It's wisdom. It's just one verse, just one simple verse, but very powerful. It comes from verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You might call this verse the tough love mom. The tough love mom. The wise man's emphasizing what? A lifelong commitment moms make. Lifelong commitment. Bringing the best advice they can give. Advice that's based on God's word and evaluated experience that she's learned in the years that she's lived. She has a few more miles. Tires have been rotated a few more times. She understands the bumps in the roads and all the hazards. Probably had to have a few repairs along the way. She has a lot to offer, and she understands this. And so now she's able to explain not just facts, but much more than that. Oh, no, she's able to apply these truths into everyday life. Mom's commitment is into guiding her children. Here's the thing I want you to get out of this. It's not based upon your kids' feelings. You got to get this right away. We don't want to hurt our kids' feelings, right? Well, honestly, there's times where you just can't care too much about that. You're really going to have to just say it as it is. That's what the diligent mom did. That's what the wise mom will do. Kind of speak it as it is. So she doesn't base her advice based upon her kids. Well, I can't say that. No, she bases her advice, what, on wisdom, built on truth. What needs to be said? That's what she does. Listen to an honest expression from a mom. I don't know who wrote this. I tried to find out where, but I couldn't. But this came from a mom who just gave an honest expression I thought was really kind of a good picture of this, kind of sums it up. From a mom who really wanted to have tough love. Here it is. It says, someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, this is what I'm going to tell them. Okay? I loved you enough to ask about where you were going, with whom, and what time you would get home. I loved you enough to insist that you buy a bike, even one that we could afford to buy you, and that you use your own money to buy it. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way with a bite out of it to the drugstore and to confess I stole this. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that would have taken me less than 15 minutes. I loved you enough to see anger, disappointment, disgust, and tears in my eyes. I loved you enough to admit I was wrong and ask for your forgiveness. Don't you love that? I loved you enough to let you... Listen, parents. I loved you enough to let you stumble, fall, and hurt. If I could just pause... That might be the best advice I've heard in a long time. Sometimes when we rescue our kids, we're not doing them any good. You could be there with them when they fall, but maybe the best thing they need to do is stumble, to learn. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. That's what moms do. The title of this message was this. I don't know if you remember it, but her children rise up and call her blessed eventually. I admit I added a word to the Bible, and God's going to love me for it, hopefully, and it's not, you don't have to quote that, but I think that's more accurate, isn't it? That really kind of pictures this whole thing. Children are going to rise up and call her blessed eventually. And moms, that's what you have to get. And grandmas, same thing. You know, we have to understand it is a process. And what a day it is. And there's increments, right? Because there's moments when something comes and you're thinking, the big smile on your face. You're like, man, I've been telling you that since you're 4 years old. You finally got it. Or maybe something much more important. And what a blessing it is when they finally get it. I'm not a mom, obviously, but I know as a young youth pastor, having that happen with teen work, you work with the teens, and you tell them all these things, right, and teaching them the Word of God, and it just feels like this all the time. Then they go off to Twin Lakes camp, and some guy they've never heard of in their life that has no relationship with them tells them the exact same thing, and they all come back with this epiphany. That used to really bother me. I admit it. I'm like, I've been telling you that for a year. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's all right, you just planted the seeds. I watered it, and someone else was able to harvest it. It's all right. Mom, there's a lot of seed planting that you do. There's just that going on. I wish it could always be your plant. I think you're watering too, but I mean, you're planting seeds and you're trying to water, and the kids don't always want to listen. They're all different stages, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and all that. I get that. But they're not going to necessarily call you blessed right away. Don't give in, because they don't. Your goal is not to make them happy. Did you hear that? You're not on this earth to make your kids and grandkids happy. I mean, I'm glad they're happy, but for what reason? Your goal is to help teach them how to be godly and wise and compassionate and listen to Christ And the best thing you can do with that is for yourself is to be devoted to God. My mom is not a perfect woman at all. She's close. She was not. But the one thing my mom was, and she still is, still have her with us. She loves the Lord with all her heart. In her later years, rather than writing long letters of, you know, just personal expressions of things, she got to the place where that part of the mind didn't work as much. So what she would do, she longhand wrote out scripture. And I found a notebook. I think she had the entire Old Testament that she wrote out by hand. Cursive. Anyone remember cursive handwriting? Anyone remember any writing these days, right? Yeah, my handwriting is just shot, says computers. And I thought, to the end. Now, she's still alive. We don't know how much longer, but to the end. Moms, that's their ministry, and it's a privilege to do it. Because your investment is changing the world for Christ. It is. You have no idea what impact your ministry in the lives of your kids, and by the way, their friends, right? Their teammates, all those things that you have in their lives. And then the lives of the ones they touch. You know the stories well. So your children will call up. They'll rise up and say, how blessed I am to have a mom like you. It will come eventually. Because that's just the way it is. But moms of excellence, let me tell you what you do. You never give up on your kids. And the reason you can do that is because Christ never gives up on us. Never. And he won't do it. His grace is sufficient for us. We may fall down 7 times, and we rise again because the Lord God is there with his arms open wide. Even our prodigal ones, which Dawn prayed about, and I'm glad she did, they understand, these moms understand the deep, deep love of God. And they even has that love. God has that for the runaways too. And so I just want to pause this morning and give thanks to all you moms that are watching or listening or here today to say thank you for the models that you've given us. We understand there's times in your life when you probably weren't the best model you could have been, or maybe you had moments. We all have moments. That's just a fact. But the long haul, the marathon, the perseverance, thank you. Keep it up to the end. And let us unite together as a body. And I'd like to pray for our moms today as we end. And pray for all our children, wherever they're at on their journeys. And particularly, once again, for all the prodigals. And when I say prodigals, I'm not necessarily saying that they're doing something horrible in life, but they're just not walking with the Lord. Let's offer together. And maybe your children are in a good place. Well, then why don't you join me in prayer and pray for a friend's children or someone else you know about. And pray for that mother, because you know exactly what that feels like. And you would not wish that upon your enemy. So may God help our moms. Would you join me together as we pray for our moms in our closing time? Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the examples of moms that you've given in Scripture. We have just little snapshots of their lives. And many of them did some great things, but many of them also did some things that were questionable. And through it all, Lord, through their perseverance, through their connection and devotion to God, they were able to do great things through Christ. I want to pray for our moms today. I want to ask that you would encourage their heart. Help them to know that they have done quite a ministry already. We have moms that are grandmothers or great-grandmothers. There might even be some great-great-grandmothers here this morning. God bless them. Lord, I just pray that you'll encourage their heart. May the seeds that they planted, may those things grow into strong oaks, oaks of righteousness that display the glory of God, and that you'll use them, their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and through their influence and instruction that was given over time and the tears and all the things that moms have to walk through that many of us guys just don't know. We observe, but we don't know everything. Lord, you do. I just pray that you'll see that fruit bear out. Lord, our children that are walking with you right now, I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, praise the Lord. You are good. I pray that they'll keep walking in faith. We pray that they'll never stop, Lord. The minute they stop or they think they've arrived somehow, that's when things slide the other way. I pray that you'll help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And may they continue to be an influence. And be a good mom, be a good dad. Those sorts of things that will help our community and our nation. All the policies in the world can't substitute for a life that's changed for Christ. And I pray that they would be involved in that. I want to pray for our prodigals. There are many. And you know exactly what far country they're in. And you even know the road they took to get there. Father, for moms and dads, of course, for the families, but for our moms today, we ask that you will bring about a hope and a peace. Help them to not live in regret, beating themselves up for things that they wish they could have done different. For Lord, we lay all that at the cross. And I would just ask that you would help them to move forward. And that you encourage them to pray, as I'm sure they have many hours. And to continue in faith and trust. And to keep looking. Knowing that it's going to take your Holy Spirit working in their heart in that far country. To change them. To look to heaven. And to say, I need to go back home. I pray that would happen. Father, some of them have walked away from the faith they grew up in, or they're certainly not in, plugged in, or there's not much going on there in their life. And Lord, I want to join my brothers and sisters right now. There's a lot of names that we have. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would stir in their heart, that you would do it, Lord. You would do it. We're not the Holy Spirit. But Lord God, we ask that Holy Spirit would do his work. Something, I don't know how you do it. You work in amazing ways. It could be, it's worked in my life sometimes through a song on the radio, through a line you hear in life at the store, or a story you read, or some, who knows, a newscast. God, I don't know how it happens, but we pray that you would get their attention and draw them back to the faith, to the Christ they heard about, and many of them professed faith in. And we ask, God, that they would make that trip home, knowing that as we look for them, boy, are we going to run when we see them coming to us. And I pray, dear God, that you would help them to be just another example of your great grace and mercy. How you take all of us who are sinners and choose to do things that are just wrong. And yet, when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally now, Lord, as we wrap this up, there may be a mother here or someone else here or someone listening, maybe a child that knows what they need to do. It's really not rocket science. They know what they need to do. I pray that you would give them the courage to do it. Help them, Lord, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if they've done that and have not been living that way, help them to repent, to cry out to God, and to turn and to follow Christ once again. We thank you that you are God who's willing to hear the prayers of his children, and even of those who cry that are not, that cry out for salvation. Maybe there's someone here today that needs that. May they right now simply trust in Christ, the one who loved them, died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for their sin, and rose again. And may they trust in him alone for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day.